Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're old and we're so grumpy. Andre Nell has told us to chill the fuck out.
Just once in a decade, in a lifetime maybe, the world of entertainment is disrupted and utterly elated by something entirely new.
Good Lord.
And now for something completely different.
You're very welcome to the Gorilla Cricket Grumpy Old Man podcast.
Yay! I'm not going to chill out.
You're always chilled out, Bear. What are you talking about?
That's the top intro. I'm chilled out about most things, but occasionally things rile me, you know.
Yeah, usually about royalty. Liverpool Football Club not winning a game and blaming everybody else.
Well, we should have been sent off, mate. Wasn't offside, and Richarlison's like a wanker.
I might have to toot the trolling horn so early in the episode.
Well, you know.
We don't have many rules on this, but talking about football, really, honestly.
Yeah, no, fair point. It is the cricket season after all, somewhere.
But I thought we were allowed to talk about anything on this show.
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
There is that also. Anyway,
people
that's
want
done
to
now.
Listen to us. Well, Messy Jez does anyway.
Well, yeah. Good old messes.
So, Grubby, What have you seen going on in the world of cricket this week?
Well, I've got a couple of options. Would you like me to talk about something spooky, or would you like me to talk about something dull?
Oh, spooky.
Spooky.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
I'll do the dull bit.
We need it at Halloween. Why not?
You
do all the dull stuff every other week, so you know, start with something else.
This is quite spooky, I think. We're off the back of covering a couple of games in the IPL on Sunday, both of which went to a super over, and indeed the second of which went to what I like to call a superb over, i.e., a second super over in the same game. It was utterly extraordinary. Now, eventually, Kings 11 Punjab won that game on the second super over against Mumbai Indians. And the man who bowled that super over for Mumbai was Trent Bolt. And he went for 15. Now, spookily, he bowled the super over for New Zealand in the World Cup final. Guess what it went for?
It went 15
as well.
15, yeah.
And not only that, but the not out batsman were 8 not out and 7 not out on both occasions. Trent Bolt, spooky.
Spooky, but totally coincidental.
God knows what the dull bit is like, if that's the non-dull bit. But no, cheers for that, Grubby. I have to say, I missed those games and all other games in the IPL and even some of the games that I was actually commentating on. And I got taken to task by, quite rightly, actually, by somebody on Twitter saying, this bloke doesn't seem to enjoy T20 cricket at all. Well, you know, sometimes it slips through the mask. You know, I try and keep it hidden, but, you know, it does slip through. But you're right, that is spooky, actually. It would have been slightly more spooky if, to get to the super over, somebody had dived for their crease and the ball had hit the bat and had gone down to the boundary and been apparently wrongly given the 6 runs rather than 5 runs. But, yeah, you know, that Trent Bolt's not got a great... Did he win that super over? or did he lose it?
No, he lost it.
No, he lost it. That's the point.
That's the point, yeah. I actually watched that. That's the first bit of IPL I've watched when I haven't been on. And it was really fucking exciting, right? And then I go in on Monday and bloody Tuesday and Wednesday and I get a real boring, easy win. followed by some team getting bowled out for fucking 87. I mean, whenever I go in, the games are shit.
Well, I mean, we know that there's no such thing as the commentator's curse. And so any suggestion that the link between boring games is you is to be roundly embraced.
Well, you're right, Grubby. We do know there's no such thing as a commentator's curse, but we do know there is such a thing as Indian bookmakers. So maybe there's other stuff going on. Who knows?
Well, maybe they get all the money on at the weekends, yeah. So they make sure it's a tight game at the weekend.
But nobody bets on the tie, do they?
Oh, conspiracy theories. And that ties to one here that I was reading today. My main story is much more entertaining, but underneath that...
We'll be the judge of that.
Underneath that, QAnon...
It could hardly be less.
The conspiracy theories, conspiracy theory people, QAnon, reveal the UK's true monarch. QAnon conspiracy theorists are claiming that Queen Elizabeth II has no right to the throne. They argue that the true monarch is a man named Joseph Gregory Hallett, referred by some as King John III.
Is he living in Australia?
No, well, I don't know. It doesn't say much. That's why I said all my stories are kind of...
It's that old Plantagenet story again, isn't it?
Hallett said, no, the illegitimate conception of George V.
The old Plantagenet conspiracy rearing its ugly head again.
There was a bloke in Australia a few years ago who said, no, I'm the real king. But I don't think anyone took him seriously. So what, George V was conceived illegitimate?
No, he had an illegitimate conception with somebody. Well, that's not surprising.
He was the conceiver.
Yeah.
Joseph Hallett.
Yeah, but illegitimate children are not heirs.
So maybe he was the illegitimate conception. Yeah, the illegitimate conception of King George V.
The bastard king.
The bastard king.
Well, you heard
king,
it here first.
They're all bastards to me.
Joseph Hallett, would he be related to Grimsby snooker player Mike Hallett, I wonder? Mike Hallett is third in line to the throne.
A bit Hong Kong chewy, that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was. Yeah.
Neil Folds, if you're listening, please get in touch.
He's not. And he would be King John III, you say, Bear?
Something like that, second. Yes.
I was going to say, did we have two Johns? I don't know.
No, we had one John. And they said, we're never having a John again because he was such a dreadful king. He gave everything away in 1215. But hey-ho.
Runnymede.
No, King John III, they said.
Maybe his dad was the previous one.
Well, possibly, yes.
They can't even get his regnal number correct.
It's a bit like when we did the Ashes, who had the Ashes actually from who beat Australia or whoever had the Ashes.
Yeah, that was funny for 5 minutes and then it got extremely tedious. I saw somebody doing it with the Champions League. I think it was a friend of the show, Chris Deely, who's got the Champions League belt going. So I think it was somebody from Slovenia playing today for the chance to win the Champions League belt. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's not that interesting.
This is the same logic that says that whoever beat the football world champions last becomes world champion and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So at one point it was Scotland, hilariously.
Yeah.
There is some cricket news. England, having last toured South Africa, what seems like about 5 years ago, was actually in January or February of this year, will be going back to South Africa to play more limited overs internationals in November. Which is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird, but I guess people are trying to do whatever they can, aren't they? You know.
Well, get in as much cricket as you can. I'm not averse to that. Although it'd be nice if they played some cricket, he says off mic. But you go to the same tour, the same team twice in a row. It just seems odd to me.
Well, I just think there's a gap there. Can we fill it? What's going
on? Got a lot of people in trouble over the years.
Well. Jesus Christ.
Fred, I've got a question for you. Where would you... So, cricket, I'm assuming, is your favourite sport. Where does one-day cricket come in your list of...
Oh, I think it becomes behind football and baseball and... it's probably that, yeah, I would say.
So, fourth. And you still quite like it, then?
Well, I'm more likely to watch that if it's on than almost any other sport, to be fair.
And would you separate 50 over cricket and 20 over cricket as two distinct sports? Because I know you have a
plausible theory. Yeah, I think shorter you get, the less relations it has to cricket. It's not a theory. It's an actual fact that it is a different sport, because the difference between cricket as it was played for like 500 years up to 1963 and what they call limited overs cricket is that there are different objectives to the game. You know, in proper cricket, you have to score more runs than the opposition and you have to bowl them out, or they have to forfeit their
But over the
number of innings, you have to, or even if it's only one innings, you have to not just get more runs, you have to take all the other team's wickets. Whereas in limited overs cricket, you just have to score more runs. It's a different game altogether.
What about darts? So in the World Championship, you have to win in the final, and you have to win seven sets. It's set play. In the World Match Play, you have to win first to 18 legs, and not set play. So does that count as two different sports?
Yeah, but no. Interesting. That's just a different way of counting. But I mean, that would be the same as, you know, if darts had another format where you didn't have to get down to zero. Or so you didn't have to finish on a double, that would be a different sport.
Probably. Well, there's one where you have to double in. Does that count as a different sport?
Good question. Thank to be honest, much. I don't really give a toss. But thanks for bringing it up.
Just trying to get some, rigor into our arguments. Anyway, enough of that. We don't want any more of that. Rigor.
Well, I assume guerrilla cricket will be covering these wonderful one-day internationals and T20s from South Africa. Can't not wait. Least.
Well, no,
because
we might.
South Africa is the best time for us to actually cover games.
Yeah,
it is.
West Indies is better, but South Africa is pretty good.
South Africa is pretty good, and we'll be covering. It'll be nice to get back to some international cricket rather than this weird shit that goes on every day that I find difficult.
And it's going on for another 6 months, probably.
It's nice to dip in and out of, I find, the IPL. It's like dipping into a bag of licorice all sorts.
Well, exactly. When I watch the two games, I kind of... Well, I would enjoy them more if they were closer. That's the problem. I mean, the problem with yesterday's game, actually, to be honest, was the game was done within about 40 minutes when they were about, 30 for six. You know, there's no teams coming back from that to get a reasonable score that's not going to be chased down by the opposition. And therefore,
whereas in cricket, you know, when England were bowled out by Ireland for how many was it?
90 or something, exactly. We had a chance to come back.
And you know, gave up a big first innings deficit. Had an opportunity to come back. Jack Leach, his second best test innings of all time. And then win the game quite comfortably by bowling Ireland out for about 12 in their second innings. Sorry, Roger, if you're listening.
It was 30-odd, wasn't it?
They were lucky to get that.
Hendo and I were there seeing Jack Leach make his 92. Very, very hot day. It was that extraordinarily hot day, in fact. What time of year was it? Like start of June or something?
Yeah,
it was 35 degrees and 100% humidity, which to my small brain means the air is just full of water, but that's a different...
You're in a swimming pool.
It was utterly oppressive. We met up with... Annie was there that day. Rog was there. Nick Martin was there. So we met quite a few gorilla chums, which is good.
Hand on heart, though, even as a Somerset fan, would you have rather have seen his one not out against Australia than his 90... against Ireland?
Oh, look, I would have loved to have been there for that day of cricket at Headingley. Of course I would, but I happened to be listening to it in our car on the first day of our holiday just outside Amsterdam. So there was no way I was ever going to be there.
Of course, chaos theory says if you would have been there, then it wouldn't have happened.
It would have been a different set of circumstances.
I was shoe shopping in Marks and Spencer's.
I was watching the Authors play... I can't remember where it was, somewhere in Berkshire. So none of us were actually...
Who played?
I was watching the Authors Cricket Club.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Was Jonathan Wilson playing for the Authors?
He may have been. I never know which one's which, because they all look the same to me, all these people.
Sticky out ears.
Oh, well, I shall look at him.
Charlie playing? I
shall make a silhouette of him next time.
And then Sunderland fan.
It'll be easier.
Was Charlie playing?
Yes, I think he probably was. It was very tense because, unfortunately for them, the game finished during the tea interval. So it was a great denouement.
I mean, you can't come on
here.
It all
came together in the final act, which is fair enough for the Authors, to be fair.
You can't come on here without both 11s, the Authors and whoever they were playing that day.
Oh, dear. I went to watch Rog, actually.
It's that sort of shoddy preparation that,
that you've come to know and love. Yes. Well, Roger's around. I actually was going to mention Rog because I saw a tweet of his a week or two back where he was responding to a friend of his who'd taken an illicit picture of a cricket game, a professional cricket game going on somewhere this season. And it was like leaning over a fence somewhere and he was watching some cricket. And Rog responded with a picture from through the gates of the Oval where you could sort of see about, you know, one tenth of the ground. And then I responded with a picture through a hedge at Radlett where Middlesex were playing Hampshire. So up and down the country, people who have been told by their prime ministers and their mayors and their local councils that under no circumstances can you go and watch cricket because it's very dangerous. But everybody has found a way. I was sitting on a bench in a rugby club looking through a hedge and watching about an hour's cricket because I thought, you know, that day I thought, honestly, I've watched cricket every year since about 1975. You know, I've gone to watch professional cricket. I can't let a year go by without doing it. I'm just gonna find a way. And
I saw that picture that you took in Radlett, and when you know the circumstances, it even the photo looks a bit furtive. It's like a hedge on one side and a bit of a sight screen on the other, and it's.
But about 40 yards away from me, there were people like in hazmat suits and not letting people into car parks and things, you know, but taking temperatures and standing there with clipboards.
You could have popped in to see my mother-in-law as well and performed some sort of community service. Mind you, she's got enough troubles, so maybe not.
Had I only known, Grubby, I would have made myself available.
Well, indeed.
Do you want a second of my headlines then?
Yes, please, Bear.
This is the one I like the most.
Nothing can make me happier.
Man who farted in Uber ends up in court. Now, what a headline is that? That's a quality headline. Man broke wind in the back of an Uber car and attacked the driver.
Well, because okay.
The driver told him to get out of the car. And then he attacked the driver. It's like the driver beat the shit out of him anyway.
Was he on his way to Radlett at the time?
No, Chasers nightclub in Bristol.
Chasers?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Is that Ben Stokes' his haunt?
I don't know. Could be. He was ordered to leave the car. Mallet attacked the driver. He then knocked down Mallet in self-defence. Sounds like the driver was bigger than Mallet.
You've got stories so far about Mallet and Mallet.
Yeah.
Well, is he related to Ashley Mallet, the former Australian...
no idea. The whole story is four sentences. And there's a man rescued after dying in freezer. That's a good one.
He was rescued after dying?
Well, there you go.
That is a story.
It's all in the headline, because he didn't really die, obviously. He was a 74-year-old man in India, was rescued after he was put in a freezer by relatives. He was under the impression he had died. And the family were for Balasubramanian Kumar.
Had he just nodded off? You know, sometimes you'd be like, it'd be in a Christmas gathering and you're like an elderly relative nods off in the corner and you're like, oh my God, Auntie Mavis has died. And then you shout like that and then she inevitably wakes up and says,
oh, well, one year, it's not going to be a joke.
No. Well, clearly not, though, because they had time to order the large freezer box and then placed his body inside. So he must have been out for a while. Yeah.
If I were an insurance investigator, I'd be looking deeper into this because I think the story is going to unravel at some point. I have to say about the man who farted in an Uber, though, that is slightly misleading headline, wasn't it? Because it was not the fact that he farted that...
No, of course not. Had him up before the beak. That's the great thing about the story.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So he farted, but then attacked the driver. That's really doubling down, isn't it?
Because of the fart, because he was told to leave the car, I suppose.
Oh, I see. It wasn't just like he sent the fart in as a kind of you know, first advanced line guard of the battalion and then went over the top with the heavy artillery.
He was playing Stratego with a fart.
There was another one I read that really intrigued me, and I wish there was an actual story on it. It said 12-year-old, and I can't find it now, but I might be on here. 12-year-old was the youngest person to they've blocked my access. I've been looking at the site too much. But it was 12.
It didn't start well, that story. I can see why they blocked you.
12-year-old was the youngest person to do nuclear fusion. I was like, what? Exactly. What?
What?
Have you just been on the Mail Online? You know, they basically put whole stories into a headline.
Yeah, what
man thrown out of Uber after farting and then attacking driver. That's the whole story, but it's the headline.
That's pretty much. I mean, it's kind of like.
And here's a picture of his wife in a bikini.
But this one is like, so supposedly this 12-year-old rushed. In fact, the story, the literal four sentences of the story, was he rushed to make fusion happen 12 hours before his 13th birthday, so he could be the youngest kid to make nuclear fusion happen.
It's don't like, be rushing that nuclear fusion.
Well, A, rushing nuclear fusion, and B, what bullshit? You know, just, no.
Did he do it in the school lab?
He didn't say anything about it. It sounded like he was doing it at home, which is obviously even more bullshit. It's just like, what? Do you remember that in the 1990s when there was that whole thing on the news?
Cold fusion,
exactly.
I thought that was an isotonic drink, wasn't it?
Well, they turned that in a way of brewing lager, I think. You know, they used the... We were talking about the IPL. A friend of us and of ours, who I won't name because I haven't run it past him first, is doing some commentary for the European Cricket Network in various odd places around Europe, including like Frankfurt and Barcelona. And I said, it's a gig. You know, he's trying to earn a few quid. Good luck to him. I have no problem with that. And he said he's doing... he's doing 8 days in Rome, I think, for the next leg of the tournament. I said
he did 8 days in Berlin, didn't he, or something?
Frankfurt, I think. I said 8 days for a tournament. It sounds a bit, it sounds a bit much for a couple of ropey Romanians who are chucking the ball at whatever. And he said to me, in Barcelona at the moment, this was last week, he said, they're in the middle of a 3-week tournament, 16 teams, two groups of eight, 56 group matches, semis, third place playoff, and final.
What, in 8 days?
That was a 3-week tournament in Barcelona.
No, 3 weeks.
56 group matches on the European Cricket Network in Barcelona. Jesus, the game's gone. The game's gone. Can you imagine sitting through
that? The more they play, the better they'll get, Fred.
Well, no, that's true. And you know, it's providing employment opportunities for friends of ours. So we're not going to argue with that. But Jesus, can you imagine sitting to watching 56 games in 8 days and commentating on them?
Sure.
Perhaps the Catalonians will take it to their heart.
So they're doing a whole tournament in 56? No, you said it's 3 weeks.
56 games in 8 days. In 8 days.
Yeah, 3 weeks. You said 3 weeks, though. You said it's a competition over 3 weeks.
Oh, no, sorry. That was the Barcelona one. was a three-week tournament, yeah.
God. That's still a lot of games in 3 weeks, 56 games.
That's like the biggest of the World Cups, I think, have been. And they're compressing it into 3 weeks. And without you driving Clive Lloyd up and down the country, because it's all basically in the same place. So I think you should give Clive a ring. I bet he's got a girlfriend out there.
But by the end, I mean, you don't want to shoot yourself in the head if you're commentating that.
Well, that is true. That is true. And having to commentate on the same players for 3 weeks running, I think, would be something of a challenge.
At least by the end, you'll know who they are.
And in Barcelona, they might all look the same, to be fair.
In Barcelona, God knows they've got to fill the sporting gap left by bullfighting. So may as well be cricket.
Was bullfighting ever big in Barcelona? I think that was one of their things. Saying no, we're not Spanish. We don't do bullfighting.
Okay. Or maybe
we do pickpocketing, which they're very good at. I did see a tweet from somebody who said. My friend was just pickpocketed in Las Ramblas in Barcelona. He says, which is not really a story because people are pickpocketed all the time there, but he was part of the undercover police squad who were investigating pickpocketing.
And he himself got pickpocketed.
You wonder, don't you? I mean,
Well, they're good then, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion for a new feature, like an ongoing feature that we might have on this particular show? It's got a little jingle that I shall sing for you. It goes, boring cricket tweet of the week. Oh. Right, am I offering this week among some pretty stiff competition, I imagine
there's quite a lot of stiff.
What I did this week was I just typed cricket into Twitter, and then the boring, earnest bollocks that you get. But anyway, this one was a particular winner this week. See if you can beat this. KL Rahul just said, feeling great, feeling good. How about you?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Do me a favor.
I think we should call this the Armchair Cricket Podcast Boring Tweet of the Week competition.
He can sponsor it if he wants, yep.
Well, he might want to enter it, to be fair. I think he'll have a lot of entries. Not the Edges and Sledges, not the ones who slag me off. No, this is the Armchair Cricket Podcast, who I've muted for just being terribly boring, but they won't listen, so it's fair enough.
And
it's just an opinion. It's an opinion. It's not a fact.
Just an opinion.
Well, KL, it's good to know that KL Rahul is feeling good. And did you at least let him know how you're feeling?
I didn't, no.
You didn't take that opportunity?
I didn't take that opportunity. There was a little smiley picture of him as well. He's a lovely looking lad. I like him a lot. But
scored an awful lot of bloody runs, I'll give him that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good keeper. Is he the keeper? He's a good keeper.
He did an excellent run out in the second, was it the first Super Over? on Sunday.
Who was the one who took a good catch down the leg side? I thought that was
Kyle Rahul. Yeah, it was Kyle Rahul. He's not a bad keeper.
Good player. Mm. He's a good all-formats player, I think, Kyle Rahul. I often wang on about that partnership between him and Rishabh.
He's never really done it at test level, though, has he? I mean, you think he should do. He's got all the class. Well, I mean, he keeps
199 against England in, I forget where, in India, when Karan Nair, pregnant fifth former, Karan Nair scored 300.
But
Kyle Rahul got 199 in that game. And then he scored a decent-sized 100 in that amazing partnership with Rishabh Pant, chasing 500 and something. Looked for a minute like they might do it. So
to be fair, Bear, you could put that comment on cut and paste in your IPL commentary for so many of the players. He's never quite done it in Test cricket because there are quite a lot of them. I mentioned that about Glenn Maxwell the other day. Yeah,
he should have been, to my mind, he ought to have been given more of a chance at Test level. I think
you remember that game in the Emirates where he went in at number three with Australia needing to bat for 2 days or score 650 runs, and he reverse swept his first ball, which missed his leg stump by about, you know, coat of varnish. So I'm not sure he's quite cut out for the proper form of the game.
There are many factors to take into consideration there. One, is he in number three? Two, should they not nurture talent? And there's no denying, I don't think he's wildly talented.
Is it we're talking about Maxwell here, aren't we?
Yeah, Glenn Maxwell, yeah.
I was thinking about the number three position the other day because I corrected someone on the internet. It's not something I do regularly.
No.
Who said that Jason Gillespie scored a double 100, batting at number 10. I said, actually, he was batting at number three.
Yeah, it occurred to me,
if that was the only time he batted number three, he might have the greatest ever average. Oh, my, he was not out, wasn't he? So he didn't have an average. He
was could have two or one not out, was it?
A better average at number three than Bradman.
He doesn't have an average, does he?
Why? If he only did it once more, you know, as a night watchman and got out for duck, he'd still have a...
Then you're quitting.
He'd be averaging over 100.
Even age 45, someone at the Australian ACB should be thinking, right, I've got to get some money on. Nah. Call him back for a test, whack him in at number three, let him get out. Done.
Yeah, I think Manny had him as scoring the highest ever... like his Alistair Cook bet after his first game for Essex or something. Maybe he had Jason Gillespie to be the highest scorer, highest average at Australia for number three. Probably not a great bet. No, but the IPL has got about 2 weeks to go, is it? Something like
who knows? I really don't know. It finishes somewhere in November. I thought it was about the 14th of November.
That's like 3.5 weeks away.
Yeah, there's still a way to go. They're just about halfway through, weren't they? They're starting to
sit a bit over that.
I will say something good about the IPL, which is the fact that there's a big difference where you finish. It's not just the top four, you know, play off against each other and it's basically starting again. The way they have their playoffs where the first, second get a bye, or is it an extra chance of getting in?
I think one plays two, and then whoever loses one plays two gets an extra chance to play the winner of three versus four, doesn't it, or something like that? It's one of those.
Right. I think that's fairer than.
Yeah, or is it that three play four, and the winner of that plays two, and the winner of that plays? No, it's not that, is it?
No, anyway. Otherwise you could get a team that's just scraped in to fourth place, basically starting a new competition, you know, on a one-off game.
As I keep saying when I'm on air with Andy, I mean, the thing is, it's a two-point win sort of table, so it keeps it much closer for much longer. I mean, you know, and at the end of the day, the fact that, you know, we were talking about all this the other day, I mean, the fact that, you know, win-loss ratios for most of the teams is, you know, it's around about 50%, which is kind of what you'd expect. So basically, it's an endless competition to get to a point that you could get to a lot quicker.
CSK
must be out of it by now.
No, I think there's a fucking still a minute chance.
They were like 2 games ago, someone had worked out they mathematically couldn't get there I don't think. In fact, I know that Dwayne Bravo's gone home from the team. I'm pretty sure they can't do it. Thank God. I mean, so
Who does he play for?
Very good. Very good.
IPL now, jokes. Get them all here.
I've got a bit of trivia for you. So what I did, as I said earlier, I just typed in cricket into Twitter to see what would come up, and many things came up, including boring cricket tweet of the week. But this one reminded us of MS Dhoni's only ever international wicket Would anyone like to add any colour to that? I remember
him taking his pads off.
Yeah,
because he was annoyed.
That was when we won. That was in India. In the series, we won when Monty and Swanee took all those wickets.
It's not that. The only international wicket MS Dhoni ever got is 2009, the ICC Champions Trophy tournament. It was at the Wanderers, Joburg. It was against the West Indies. Ooh. And I definitely will give you 2 points plus a bonus point if you can get the name of his victim.
Chris Gayle.
Is it going to be somebody who we haven't heard of even after you tell us who it is?
I suspect this person, for his international career, is known primarily as being MS Dhoni's only wicket.
well, I'm not going to get it, am I?
No, so, I don't think so. It's poor old Travis Dowling is who it is, who was bowled for 14. So Dhoni came on, he bowled some pies, he got hit for a few fours, but then the ball he got him with was an absolute doozy, actually.
Rob Linda on YouTube.
He was bowling seam up, and he angled one in, it hit the seam, and it jacked, it just hit the middle of top and the top of middle and off. It was a great delivery. And so what a good one to get. And in fact, they bowled West Indies out of 129 that day. Oof. And knocked off the runs with three wickets down. And a young fella called Virat Kohli scored 79 not out.
But when I was young, we used to go off and on a Sunday to watch a Sunday league game, which were 40-over games starting at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And the scores weren't particularly high. You know, 180 was a decent score. And often it would happen that the team batting second had absolutely no chance of getting there. And towards the end of the second innings, you'd see what we used to be known as occasional bowlers, and sometimes not even occasional bowlers. So I have seen Mike Brearley take a wicket. I don't know how many wickets he got in professional cricket, but he did get Anton Yogi Ferreira of Warwickshire, LBW, in a Sunday league game that I was at. And I also saw Clive Radley, who never otherwise bowled, as far as I know, take a wicket. And I surprised Clive Radley with this fact when he wandered into a commentary box in Antigua that I happened to be commandeering at the time, and I did an impromptu interview with him, literally impromptu, because we were on air and I had nothing in front of me by way of anyway, I could do any actual
like
live research, yes, but it was professional, so it was slightly not like this show. And I told him I'd seen him take a wicket, and he didn't believe me. He didn't think he'd ever taken a wicket, so I had to dig it out of wisdom somewhere. And
That's gone
out of the game. You know, when the team's winning very, very, when the team batting second has got no chance of getting the runs, you still don't get the wicketkeeper lob up some lobs, because they might get 36 and some no balls and actually get close.
We had James Vince bowled this summer. Who else did we have bowled?
James Vince bowls
got a wicket or two, didn't he?
Yeah.
And we had, what's his name? Sibley bowled, didn't he, as well?
And also, because a lot of the one-day tables have run rates involved. You don't want to give somebody a cheap 25 runs either, because, you know, that can affect positions in the table. But it's something that's gone out of the game.
Declaration bowling, I'm sure, is still...
Yeah, that came into it a bit this year when the game...
Surely you get the
different
part-timers then, don't you? You know. Mm.
Yeah, you did. For a while, we had asterisks in the record books, because Steve O'Shaughnessy hit 36 in an over... against somebody who was just lobbing up full tosses. And Bill Frindle, who was the editor of Playfair at the time, said, "I'm not having that," and he put an asterisk next to it.
But that can't have been six sixes in an over, though, Fred. That must have been a no ball in there somewhere as well, no?
What, 36?
It wasn't six sixes in an over, surely.
I think Steve O'Shaughnessy did, yeah.
Really? It was the famous Sobers one, then there was Ravi Shastri did it, and I didn't think it had been done again until Yuvraj Singh took Stuart Broad for six.
Well, I think it was sort of written out. It was sort of written out. Oh no, was it? No, maybe that, no, he hit a century in half an hour or something.
He did get scored an incredibly fast century, didn't he?
I think that was declaration bowling. But there was a time when, you know, 3 day games, when games things had to be manufactured, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. But it was a little bit tedious to watch, to be fair. I don't think anyone wants to see that back. So we're not calling for a return to three-day county championship cricket.
No.
But some championship cricket would be nice.
Well, it's going to end up being another Bob Wallace trophy next year, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if COVID's
well,
going to be
Well, they've done a hybrid. They've done a hybrid. They're doing sort of a three groups of six and...
A Bob championship.
Well, I think it's basically like two tournaments. In other words, the team that gets most points will win the championship, and then the top few will get playing off into another trophy.
Can the two different portions have different names?
I think they do. I think the Bob Willis Trophy is going to carry on as the playoffs, which are going to be played in sort of September and October, or this kind of stuff.
Well, let's see who dies between now and then, who we can name after.
Get your bets in. Have a cricketing.
Who knows who will be? Ah, COVID.
It's a tombola.
You know, the 100's supposed to start next summer. I don't know if that's even going to happen.
Have NASA announced what their big story is? Because they've been trailing for a couple of days. They've got a big story coming about the moon. Have you seen this?
I think I've heard the teaser campaign. Yeah.
Well, aren't they going to send someone up there? They're going to start up a. They're going to try and mine it or something, aren't they?
Are they taking bids? You know, can we vote who we want to go up to the moon and stay there?
Go on. I've got a couple more options from my Twitter cricket trawl. You can either have what I'm entitling helmet, or you can have unusual dismissal.
Oh, I think helmet's going to be Tony Greig, isn't it?
It is.
It is Tony Greig.
Amazing.
I saw that picture of what looked like a homemade helmet made out of cut off bits of gloves or something.
How would you describe it? Well, the way I described it is it's sort of part baseball cap and part boxer's head guard.
Well,
amateur boxer's
sort of,
head guard.
He got a life-size Mr. Michelin advert, and he sort of cut bits off it and sort of pasted it to his head, I think.
He was a big fella, but, I mean, those Michelin are like 20 feet tall.
Well, yeah, you know, he found a smaller one, to be fair. But you remember Tony Greig's gloves were just one giant sheet of rubber with mittens. With no fingers delineated either. So
batting mittens. They were cool for a while though. PS did some. I always wanted some.
SP St. Peter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Early to mid 80s, they were the thing, weren't they?
They were the thing. Yeah, I really wanted a pair, but I never had any.
And for a while, somebody had pads who were just one piece rather than sort of in delineated into canes. So they weren't quite so successful.
That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, why? What is the benefit from the kind of the corrugated nature of the front of a pad as opposed to a sort of...
I think it's historic, actually, because they were made up of sort of bamboo pieces or sort of round pieces of wood, the earliest pads. And that design has sort of stayed.
Stuck, yeah.
200 years or whatever it is.
I had a pair of pads that were sort of big front panel. Had them for years.
Tony Bishop remembers them.
No, I didn't have them then, actually.
He stuck his finger up straight away, didn't he?
Yeah, bastard. Totally not out.
One thing that I noticed in the final of the Bob this year, dear old Somerset. Anyway, it was Alistair Cook who played the match-defining innings. It was a tremendous, tremendous knock and ultimately won Essex the trophy. But he wear and has always worn pads that are like ostensibly way too small for him. And one of the commentators pointed out that if you get hit on the pad, it's less likely you're going to be given out LBW.
Above the knee roll, you mean?
No, well, than if you're wearing these enormous great things that might protect you better. So he's wearing, if you look at it from side on, it's almost like sort of child's pads that he's wearing. I thought,
I wonder if he thinks the umpire says, oh, that's hit him above the knee roll. You know, that can't be out. Exactly. Except the knee roll is halfway down his shin.
Exactly.
Good thing.
Clever lad, that.
Never noticed.
He'll go far.
Ooh. But maybe that's what Money saw that made him put a bet on him, because he's thinking, this is a thinking cricketer.
The thing, just back to Tony Greig for a second, that was quite interesting about that photo that both Fred and I saw on Twitter earlier, was that it was from when he played for Waverley in New South Wales in 75-76. So this was, I think they say it was a couple of years before World Series cricket, and I don't know the exact chronology. I know that people like, was it Dennis Amos had an early prototype of a helmet?
He did, yes. Mike Brearley had something that fit under his cap as well, with sort of
That's right.
flaps over his temples.
Didn't Sunil Gavaskar had like a skull cap that went under his cap? You know.
Very similar. Later, Sunny?
Well, it was the time when the West Indies bowlers were at their most fearsome, and also Lillian Thompson for Australia.
Oh, man,
so people were looking around for things to help them.
Necessity being the mother of invention.
I caught bloody Babylon in Fire in Babylon. The other day again. Jesus, some of the people getting clonked on the head and in the chest and over.
Brian Close.
Straight down. And they get up. I mean, not even him. I mean, Viv Richards gets smashed in the chops and gets up. Yeah. Bashes in for fucking six. I mean,
yeah,
there's
well,
only one of
Beefy
getting one in the gob, isn't there? Like, I think a couple of teeth went.
But when Devon Malcolm dished it out, we were on our feet going, God, have it.
I don't mind it, man. It's part of the gladiatorial nature of sport. Now we have helmets anyway. So
I mean, it is quite shocking to look back at that stuff and think that people were batting with nothing on their heads in the way of protection. I mean, I remember seeing David Gow get... I mean, he had that lovely bubbly perm thing, so that probably protected him anyway. But it's just like it's unimaginable really now. You know, moments of tragedy like Phil Hughes to one side. But to think of that, of it being possible to be hit directly on your head.
That's the thing, isn't it? You think of Phil Hughes and you think, shit, he got hit on the head and he died and he's wearing a helmet. And then
it was a freak accident,
it's true. But then you watch this exactly that, and these people are getting pinged all over the fucking place, time after time after time. I mean, that's Brian Close gets hit.
Brian Close and John Edwards.
Yeah.
There was just an hour. They didn't bowl at the stumps, they just bowled at the body. And Brian Close didn't even have any hair to protect him.
No. He looked pretty grumpy.
He used to field at short leg, and of course fielders didn't have helmets either. And at least twice, people were caught in the gully having ricocheted off his head at short leg.
Christ.
Yeah, there was one time, wasn't there, where he was being, after one such incident, and his teammates rallied around, and he was sort of mildly concussed, I guess. He just stood up and just said to me, like, they're going, you're right. And he goes, did he bloody catch it?
Yeah.
Well, the title of his autobiography I have here, you're seeing it in reverse, is I Don't Bruise Easily.
We're not seeing it in reverse. No, you're seeing you in reverse.
You're seeing me.
Okay. But you can change that if you wish. Yeah.
No one's seen this anyway. So, yeah, he was an interesting character. But, you know, no one wore helmets. And to be honest, I don't recall, apart from, who was the England bowler who got, was it Ewan Chatfield got hit by
Pete Ewan Whose
Army? Ewan Chatfield, the New Zealand tail ender, got hit in the chest by Peter Lever and technically died for a couple of minutes. His heart stopped, but he was revived, rather like your friend in the freezer box in India. But I don't recall any stories of people getting, people dying from being hit on the head.
No, that's what I mean. It's quite, you know, it's quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, you look at that. It's quite a fucking savage.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a freak eventuality that no one did. Someone must have in the annals of the
Hughes game. was the back of the head. I mean, yeah, I'm sure he was the back club of cricket. Yeah. In club cricket, things have happened. But
Russell hooked one into his own mouth and he had to get it wired up. And that was the biggest blessing we ever had at the club for about 8 months.
Yeah, I once went into bat taking guard in a pool of blood where the batsman before me, the bowling was pretty quick. And a guy had top edged it into his eye, actually, or his nose and eye. And I sort of took guard somewhere near the crease and then stood somewhere near the square leg umpire. or ran away pretty damn quickly. But that was not fun.
I remember when I was a kid actually playing kid cricket. No, not cricket. I was playing adult cricket, but as kids, the opening bowler at my school was a guy called Stuart Easterbrook. And weirdly, he played with, Sean, who we were on the World Cup with. He was up at Durham at the same time as Sean, so he knew him. Yeah. But he was like 6'2" when we were like 15. He was tall and he bowled pretty bloody quick. We played a club game and we had they had a pitch that was like concrete, and there was, you know, typical kid bowling at adult, you know, adults, and fucking da da da. Bowls him a couple of rapid bounces and pings him on the head. Gets square on a bounce. Guy goes down. Wants to get up and carry on. You know, he's giving it all that. Ken wants to carry on batting. Everyone's going, no, you better go off me.
This is not a helmet. This is
Before helmets. Is that it's club game on the Saturday afternoon, the mid-80s. You know.
And did you get the what Mike Reed used to do, the stand-up comedian Mike Reed?
I mean, the guy was Sparko for a good 5 minutes.
A lump appear like that.
you know, his ego was like, nah, I can't be bonced out by a kid, you know, but Jesus.
Well, to be fair, you know, Steve Smith did something similar. You know, let me back out there. And yeah. We saw the first ball when he came back that something was not right, and he charged down the wicket and had a massive mow out to mid-wicket. And we said, you know, he's not right. He probably
How was
not
he allowed,
been allowed
back?
To. Well, he just said, you know, he's the big man in the changing room. He said, you know, I'm going to bat. And
It's not up to him. He's not the arbiter of it.
Well, it kind of changed there and then, didn't it, really?
Well, when did Labuschagne come in?
When he came in that innings. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. They'd already...
and he's not got out since.
Oh, so, mate, you know. I've seen him get out some bloody ugly ways, Steve. I mean, he's an ugly batsman, let's face it, but he scores runs. But he's got some fucking ugly ways in the IPL, man. I mean, there was one shot, he looked like an amateur. He's just wafting outside his off stump, his feet going the other way. And the thing is, at least when a professional, you know, he's got some style, does it? It looks okay. Well, it doesn't look okay, but you know what I mean. But this is just like a...
If you've got an unorthodox
feet going anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes
looks
wrong.
Ugly, man.
Then, of course, you leave yourself... I mean, it's a bit on a slightly different level, but Gary Balance for England, when it started going wrong for him.
Yeah. He was averaging over 50 at the time. That was the odd thing. Yeah.
First 10 games in his Test career.
Who was the batsman who came back recently? The Pakistani who hadn't played for a long time, and then
Fawad Alam.
Batted like a reverse George Bailey or sort of an extended Chandler ball. Yeah,
Or a left-handed Peter Willey.
Yeah. You're not hiding to nothing because you know even if you get out to a good ball, people are going to say, "Well, you're never going to be a Test batsman, you know, batting like that."
It was very odd to watch that.
He'd average 60-odd in first-class cricket playing that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. He's not going to change. But you want to, you know, as you say, if you're out to an ugly shot, then it looks worse. And if you're out to a so-called cricket shot,
and we denied that win in that test, weren't we? As well, the fucking rain came down.
Do you want one more from my Twitter cricket set?
Last one before the Bears missus comes back and he has to pack up.
Oh, yes, true.
Do you know what that reminded me of? Bear said he's got to be back. It's 20 minutes to when his missus comes home. It's like that scene from Pulp Fiction when Bonnie's going to come home and you're playing Quentin Tarantino character. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. Cause,
I thought you meant that somebody sparked out from drugs on this floor and they've got to give her an insulin injection.
This is the one where they're trying to get rid of the body. Anyway, we'll move on from that. So you might know this. I reckon Fred might know this, and Bear, you probably do know it, but have forgotten it. That's what I reckon is going to happen here. Right, so Dennis Lilly once picked up a wicket in the World Cup final, no less, in 1975, off a delivery that was hit for six.
Yeah.
How was that possible?
Well, it wasn't a six. I mean, the ball did go over the boundary, but Roy Fredericks played a marvellous hook and carried on swivelling and took out his leg stump, as I recall, was out hit wicket as the ball was travelling over the square leg boundary.
Which is either
unlucky or incredibly stupid, depending on how you look at it.
I don't remember that at all. I was about four.
Yeah, no, I know you were only a wee one, as was I.
Well, if you get a chance to look at the end of that game on YouTube, there were crowds running on the pitch virtually every single ball.
Yeah.
And at the last wicket, what looked like the last wicket fell, I think somebody was bowled, but it was called a no ball. And the batsmen started running. I think Lilly and Thompson were batting. And they started running. They realised it was a no ball. People were running on the pitch. No one knew where the ball was. The players were milling around amongst crowds of people. And Lilly says to Thompson, "Let's just keep running." And they just carried on running until the umpires stepped in and said, "No, actually, we're going to call it a dead ball or something." But the crowds were allowed to run on the pitch in England in the 70s, and they used to do it with great regularity.
Oh, they did indeed.
In fact, you used to sit on the grass at Lord's. They used to sell tickets that you could sit on the grass in front of the between the fence and a boundary rope.
When you described that Fredericks incident, carry on swivelling is one of the lesser known classics from the
1970s.
If the ball had travelled, had gone over the boundary before he hit the wicket, would he still be out?
No, he's still carrying on with his shot.
So it could have gone for six, but in his follow through thereafter, because it's all part of the same shot, momentum. We could talk about momentum, but we won't.
And that was opening the batting in the first World Cup final. And Clive Lloyd, who's a great friend of the show and a
great personal friend of yours,
Hit 100 in that game, and I think I think Australia won it by, West Indies won it by about 45 runs.
Well, I might be able to tell you if you give me a couple of seconds.
You ever seen that video of Jeff Lawson knocking his stumps off twice in a row and then putting the bales back on and not being given out?
No.
Look that up on YouTube. That's against the West Indies as well. He's coming in. I think the West Indies are going to win. I think it's in New Zealand. Was it in New Zealand? It can't have been Jeff Lawson, but it's definitely Jeff Lawson. So it must have been Australia. He basically goes back and treads on his stumps.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody noticed. Yeah. Nobody noticed. But then Dujon does notice, or whoever's keeping. And but points at it. And the umpire, the first time, the umpire goes and puts the bale back on. Says, no, it's not out.
Well, Dominic Cork did the same thing, I think, for England.
Yes, he did.
West Indies in about 95, where he went right back into his plate, played it through the leg side, came back after running two, picked up the bale. He knew what he'd done, put it back on. And he got away with it. So you can get away from being hit wicket. I never have.
Yeah, but a team I played for,
the captain, was a decent bat. Got into a right mess of his footwork at one stage of his career and just kept going back to cut and smashing his own stumps. He did it about 4 times out of 6 weeks. Something went in his technique and he just kept getting out by smack, not just glancing, you know, not just nicking a bale, absolutely demolishing his own stuff. That was funny. It was funny for us, not so funny for him.
You don't need to be Toby Radford to tell him that there's a flaw in his technique there.
Well, but yes, you think after doing it twice, he would sort of have worked out there was a problem, but it took him a while.
Yeah, Clive Lloyd, 102 from 85 balls in that 75 final, which was pretty good going back then, or any time.
Well, and the crowd were running on the pitch.
Remember the Australian bowler who got 5 wickets in that?
Was it Maxi Walker?
Was not, although Walker did play. He had figures of 71 from his 12 overs.
60 over games.
I'll give you a clue. Same name as an American serial killer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Nope.
Bundy.
Gary Gilmore.
Gary Gilmore, yes, who got executed in 1977. The advert Gary Gilmore's Eyes was about.
Gary Gilmore's a great song. And
execution of Gary Gilmore.
When I went to Madame Two Swords as a, what was I, 11, 12, from my school in Devon, lovely coach trip up, and they had the sort of the crypt or the lower floor where all the sort of dodgy stuff happened, and they recreated this scene, and you look through this glass panel, and there's Gary Gilmore in his chair, and then they turned the light off, and they went bang bang, and they turned it out, and he was there slumped, having been shot. It was gruesome as, but brilliant.
How long did it take you to get up from Devon on a school bus? You must have set off about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was probably about 6 hours back then.
Oh Jesus! Sat in the back of the bus eating sweets.
Pretending to the car behind that they had a flat tire.
Absolutely rushing on sugar.
Exactly.
Right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for what will undoubtedly be a great entertainment to anybody who actually listens to this.
It's a masterpiece.
Thank you, Messy Jez. We hope to do more of these when we've got nothing else on, which is most of the time, to be honest.
This is episode 5 in a series of 4, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a series of 1, actually, because no one thought we would come back for a second. We're sorry that the arch grump Hendo hasn't joined us today, but when he gets his technology sorted out, I'm sure he will be back. So, Grubby, you want to you opened the show. I'll leave it to you to close it.
Well, all I've got to say to anyone listening to this is, could you give us your submissions for Boring Cricket Tweet of the Week?
Oh, so that was the innings of Brendan McCullum. Scores lots of fours because he don't like to run them. And here we are waving Brendan McCullum goodbye. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane,
So shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.